Hey guys, today's episode of Sports Spectrum is brought to you by the Sports Spectrum magazine. Have you gotten your subscription yet? I gotta tell you, Sports Spectrum's magazine might be the best thing that we do here at the Ministry of Sports Spectrum. And we've been going strong now for 38 years. This magazine has been a resource to help share the gospel of Jesus with those who love sports. If you're looking for a magazine and a resource for your kids, for your children, for your teenagers who love sports, I want to encourage you to get the Sports Spectrum magazine. You can subscribe today. Just go to sportspectrum.com, click the magazine icon at the top. And when you're there, we want to give you a little bit of a discount. This is for podcast listeners only. 15% off a Sports Spectrum quarterly magazine subscription. It's a one-year subscription. Use the code podcast15, podcast15, when you go subscribe to the Sports Spectrum magazine. Maybe get it for someone as a gift, but use that code podcast15 and you can get 15% off a one-year subscription to the Sports Spectrum magazine. We keep it affordable, we do, but we're giving you an extra 15% here. We think it's the best thing that we do. It makes a great resource. Check out the Sports Spectrum magazine. Use that code podcast15 and save 15% off. You can get it today at sportspectrum.com. And we are also presented today here on Sports Spectrum by our friends at Water Mission. Go check them out, a Christian engineering nonprofit committed to providing clean, safe water and God's love to people all around the world. I'm telling you, Water Mission is legit. You got to sow into this ministry. You will not be disappointed. You can get involved today and learn more by going to watermission.org/join the team. watermission.org/join the team.
Welcome into the Sports Spectrum Podcast, where we bring Jesus into the sports conversation. Here's your host for today, Jason Romano.
Hey guys, welcome to the show. I am Jason. This is the Sports Spectrum Podcast. And as always, you can find us at sportspectrum.com. We're so glad you're tuned into the program today. We'd welcome your feedback. You can reach us via email directly to me, jason@sportsspectrum.com. That's my email address, jason@sportsspectrum.com. And we're excited about our conversation today with Matt Roth. Matt played college basketball with Indiana University as a member of the Hoosiers basketball team, 2008 to 2012, under head coach Tom Crean. He led IU to the Sweet 16 in his senior season in 2012, but in his freshman year, that first season, they only won 6 games. So what a contrast of start to finish with the Indiana Hoosiers when Matt Roth was playing college basketball there. He is now the head coach, head basketball coach for the boys at Blackhawk Christian High School in Fort Wayne, Indiana. And in 2023, he led Blackhawk to the Indiana Class 2A State Championship. And that's taken over a program that for many years have been led by Mark Davidson, who was their longtime head coach and passed away after a cancer battle in 2022. You might recognize that name, Mark Davidson. He was on the podcast as a guest of ours 2 years ago in 2021, after he had led Blackhawk Christian to the state championship. Then, 2 years later, Mark unfortunately has passed on to be with the Lord. Matt Roth takes over, and Matt Roth leads Blackhawk Christian to a state championship. There is a lot to talk about here. And taking over for a legend and trusting God to direct Matt Roth's steps and following the footsteps of a Mark Davidson. There's so much stuff here to talk about, and it's all really good. Matt Roth leads with the Lord in front. I think you're going to love this conversation. Here on Sports Spectrum, it's Matt Roth from Blackhawk Christian. Take a listen. He is Matt Roth. Welcome to Sports Spectrum, buddy. How are you?
We're doing well. I appreciate you having me on. A great opportunity to chat and talk faith and basketball here at Blackhawk.
That's what we're about. Faith and sports. It's like the perfect combination. I want to start with winning a state championship. I mean, it's been a few months now. That's your first season that you just finished as head coach. Now that you've had time to process winning a title and what that means, can you describe the moment and what it was like to, you know, to hoist that trophy and win a state championship?
Yeah, I'm still hard to describe. As an athlete, as then a coach, every season starts with those dreams, those aspirations. At least every program I've been a part of starts with that as a potential reality. And I knew coming into the job, we had a very talented group of seniors, three that were in our starting rotation that were tremendous leaders in their own regard, each one of them very unique. But then we also had some young, kind of untested varsity guys who very talented, but how was it all going to mesh together? How were we going to mix together, a combination of three or four younger guys with three veterans who are battle tested and could be kind of stuck in their ways a little bit because their ways have worked so well in the past.
You won a state championship, and I saw a video. This is what actually prompted me to have you on, because we have a bunch of people on social media who follow Sports Spectrum that remembered when we had Matt Davidson on, your mentor and the former head coach, and we'll talk about him in a second. But I'm watching you kind of in tears, just sharing the emotion of winning it all, but all that goes into it, right? Like, there's this journey, there's the faith component, which is the most important component. There's the situation of losing Coach Davidson last year to cancer and you kind of replacing him. It just felt like it all culminated. Obviously, it's great to have it culminate with a state championship, but there was a lot of emotion that you were kind of processing and going through initially after you guys won it all.
Yeah, the emotion would be the right word to describe the whole season for me. Having been blessed with the opportunity to be with Coach Davidson for 3 years as an assistant, going back to 2013, when I was first getting into coaching and learning from him and molding who I am as a coach, but also now a father and a mentor, somebody who's working with our youth in the Christian schools here, to see how he molded me into that, and then to come alongside the program just as a fan, that last year, that last season, before he lost his battle with cancer, to see the emotion and just, I still remember like a gut punch sitting in the stands watching, as they see their lead slip away and they end up losing in overtime, in the regional final, and you can see the emotion, and the emotion is so much deeper than the game. It was almost everybody wanted to continue to play basketball because it meant we were able to continue to spend time with Mark. And so he was a dear friend of mine, and certainly a mentor in every realm, basketball being probably the smallest of those realms. And so coming into the season, the emotion was all over of, how are we going to get through a court dedication and play a game? Like this almost needs to be a separate night emotionally for the coaches. I was able to retain, number one priority was to retain several of his assistants who I've got to know over the years, and keep those familiar faces around the guys, from a leadership standpoint. So there was just emotion rolling into the season. I thought the boys did a tremendous job of keeping, the two main things we talked about was our faith and our identity in Christ being who we are. And then we didn't talk about X's and O's a whole lot. We talked about playing to a standard that would bring glory to the Lord. It's not something you can measure, so it's kind of confusing to some people. But if we played to that standard, the God-given ability of the guys that we had in that locker room was going to win a lot of games. And we understood that standard, and we understood there were nights where we won and we didn't meet that standard. Maybe something happened, we lost our cool, our composure. Maybe we lost the game, but we still did it in a way that brought honor and glory to the Lord. And so those being at our root of who we were allowed us to take some of the emotion and the highs and lows out of the season and just keep the main things, which was important to us. And then, postseason was a whole nother role of emotion. Each stage of the way to see the support of our community here, but also the rally and who we are. So many of the traditions and things that we do at Blackhawk are beyond basketball. Like, and fans are like, oh, we're so happy that you guys still publicly pray after the games. Well, that's not going to change. It doesn't matter if it's the state championship or if it's a consolation game in a holiday tournament. That's who we are. That's our standard. And so it was so fun to see our community rally, and you could see them do that with Mark and his battle, as he shared his testimony. And then you could see them almost rallying this year, but instead it was rallying around these young men who, as 16, 17, 18-year-olds, have been through emotionally more than most of the population of their peers in terms of losing somebody that special to them, having those seniors, you know, Jimmy being a senior, Mark's youngest biological son, they've got their adopted twins that are in sixth grade, that I'm looking forward to watching them grow. But to have that senior son on the team, like, they lost their coach, but they lost their best friend's dad. They lost that. There are so many levels. So the emotions just continued to flow. And I think that's kind of what hit me after that state finals game. You couldn't script it. I mean, Jimmy ran to me, gave me a huge embrace, and it was just so overwhelming because it was everything these guys have been through, but then to be able to cap it off with the joy of a championship, but then also doing it in a way that honored the Lord, which was true in Gage's testimony when he, you know, got the opportunity post game to talk there to the PA system. So beyond blessed to be around these guys, and their influence on me is equally as great as mine on them in any standard of the game.
That's beautiful. I love hearing that. You mentioned Mark Davidson. We had him on the podcast in 2021, and I'm trying to remember who connected me with Mark, and I don't. But I do remember in talking to him, and he was going through it, obviously. It was right after the season had ended. I think they had just won the state title in 21. And, you know, he wasn't sure. It was probably in the fall of 21 or the summer of 21 that we talked. And, you know, you never know at that point what's going to happen. And you know, he was fighting and battling. You would never have known that he had cancer. But I was so impressed with how he just rattled off scripture in everything that every question I asked him. He didn't have his Bible and he would turn to page, you know, whatever. And no, he just knew it. Like, he knew scripture. And it just made me think about the influence that he had on you. And you alluded to it. You even said basketball was like maybe the lowest of the things that he influenced you on the most. I have to imagine being a man of God, a model of who Jesus is, was probably the most influential. But talk about that. Talk about the influence that he had on you as a coach, as a follower of Jesus. Describe his influence, if you could.
Yeah, well, I mean, I was at a very young state in my career. I was fresh out of college. I just was a year removed. We'd just gotten married. During those 3 years, we welcomed our first son into the world. And I still, you know, one of the strongest things that I ever learned from Mark, and it wasn't even a bout of scripture, but it was a statement of manhood. And we were in the weight room, one of his favorite places. We were up there after practice all the time, and we were lifting. We were doing his strongman lift of the day, which he excelled at. I struggled at because I just wasn't in that form of training. But we were sitting and we were just talking, and he was telling me of some of his struggles, but then also giving me advice of, you know, the most important thing that he ever learned to do as a young man, as a young Christian, as a young father, was to be able to take his fist from being clenched and hanging on and trying to control and trying to do what's right for your family and trying to guide your family and just simply just open them. Just to, you know, signify, I am letting go of this. I have no power over this. I want to have power over this. That's our sin nature, but I don't. And I need that guidance. And he talked a lot about, once you do that, you start to get this understanding of the Lord's will for your life. And you don't understand what that is. You don't understand the directions it's going to take you, but you understand, and you just have this unique, you know, what I found, a unique understanding of, you know, things work out in a certain way. Like, my wife will tell you, she gets annoyed with me because I will tell her, it'll be all right. You know, we're good. Like, we're in a good spot. We're going to pray about stuff. We're going to continue to do what's best. We're going to continue to be invested in our faith and our church and our kids and what we're doing. And it's going to work out. And so I think learning from Mark early on, and it didn't hit me until when we had our second son. He's born early, had some breathing issues, and we're in the hospital, NICU, basically just dealing with, you know, his ability to eat food and continue to breathe. And we were helpless. And I can remember just being broken in that moment of, there's not, like, I cannot do anything. Like, we're feeding him as, you know, as perfectly as we possibly can to try and make sure that he's going to be okay. And he's still holding his breath and not breathing. And we've got issues, and being to that point of just like, hands open and just sobbing in prayer. And that's kind of something that stuck with me as I've transitioned. You know, I've had different changes in career. If you would have told me 3 years ago, I would have left the career in sports medicine, hospital administration to jump back into coaching, to jump back into the world of education and PE and all these things. I don't know if I would have believed you, but it's just funny because that's how the Lord works, that, you know, one avenue leads to another, and then that leads to conversations, and they all came back to Mark and just his encouragement of me and his ability to pray for me, even when I wasn't on staff with him, even when it was, you know, bumping into him at a tournament or seeing him in an AAU tournament where his boys were playing. And so just that ability to then trust the Lord's will for your life and then just study that scripture, study it and study it. And he was incredible because he could recite it for you on the spot. I could paraphrase a lot of it. I could tell you what I need to do. I could show you where I need to flip in the Bible to get what we need to get. But, you know, in hindsight, you know, the last conversation that I was able to have with Mark in person was right before I took the job. And, you know, he's a big, you know, strong man when he was healthy, and he was, his body was failing him then. And he just reassured me before he was going to introduce me to the team, which was one of the most powerful days of my life here on earth. Outside of, you know, becoming a father to our three kids. But it was so moving. But he told me, he goes, "I've got one more good, hard Big Ten foul in me if you need a push in the right direction." But he's like, "I just believe the Lord is calling you to pursue this with confidence." And I laughed and I told him, I said, "I don't think I could take a hard foul from you now. And I don't think I could have taken you when we were healthy, because you were a mountain of a man and I was a small little guard who you would have picked on." But it was just so beautiful because he had such a faith walk that he was so confident that the Lord was leading me back here, that it just bubbled over even when he was, you know, in his last days here. So that was just truly special to be a part of that.
We're talking to Matt Roth here on Sports Spectrum. He played college basketball at Indiana with the Hoosiers from 2008 to 2012 and is now the men's basketball coach, boys basketball coach at Blackhawk Christian. They are the reigning state champions in 2023. You talked about that moment on being introduced to the team by Mark before his passing. Take us through even accepting the job that it's coming to you. Mark is encouraging you, but at some point you are offered this role and you know who the coach was before you. Talk about just mixed emotions and praying and accepting that position, and then take me to the moment of being introduced to the team and how powerful that was for you.
Yeah, I mean, there was so much emotion wrapped up in it, again, with my, you know, friendship of Mark, and what he was able to do here. There was always that prayer that, you know, there's going to be healing. There's going to be, you know, there's going to be a treatment plan that gives him more time here on earth, right? And some of those may have been selfish and wanting to learn from him more and have him around our program more. And obviously God had another plan for that, but it was also just this really calming peace of knowing that, one, he believed in me and that he loved me and trusted me. And so the job process, you know, again, basketball was the least of the concerns. I laugh now with my admin team at times because in my interview, I told them that. I said, you know, I'm looking more forward to submersing myself in a culture where I'm surrounded by godly men and women every day at work. I have people who have my best interest, and it doesn't matter if we win 10 games in a row or lose 10 in a row. They're invested in me, my faith, and my family. And to be surrounded by that, I needed that. Not being from Fort Wayne, not having a friend circle of people I grew up with here, outside of my wife and some and close friends that we've developed, being able to submerse into an environment where I was being pushed to be better, that I had godly men around me, especially as a young father. You know, there's so many of our guys, you know, Gage Sefton being one of our seniors, dad, you know, teaches in the building. And so we're able to talk a lot about, he'll see my kids who are 8, 6, and 4 and reminisce and tell me about the struggles that they went through at 8, 6, and 4. And it's like, okay, so we're not alone. You know, when our 6-year-old's stomping his foot and doesn't want to do something, like we, but I've got that, and it's in a godly way. It's in a way that's bringing, you know, glory to the Lord and how we parent, how we raise our kids. And I told him, I said, I crave that as much as I crave any basketball position. And I can remember walking out of the interview and my wife asked me, how'd it go? And I said, well, I don't know if I'm going to get the job or not, but I want to work there. I want what they have. I want that environment. You can feel it when you walk in our building. The staff cares for each other. They lift each other up, and they do it all because they want to bring glory to the Lord. And that's through the relationships we have as a staff, but then also our investment into the next generations of kids who are up and coming. And we get to do that on a day-to-day basis, which is incredible. And so I felt, when I told my wife that, I felt kind of silly for admitting that in the interview that like I wanted that as much as the basketball. I was at a point where I was starting to crave that Christian environment, that opportunity to share my faith publicly. Hospital admin, while I had a great team of people around me, isn't the place that you're sharing your faith and your testimony and your story. It's not a place you're growing spiritually while you're at the workplace. You're growing in your field, but now I feel like day in and day out, my cup is getting filled and I'm doing very little of the pouring. It's the people who are surrounding me and lifting me up. And the same in basketball with the staff that I had around me, my assistants. We filled that cup collectively because we genuinely care for each other outside of basketball, and it allows basketball to be a fun part of our lives, but not any part near the center.
And then you get introduced, and your former coach, former colleague is there on his last days in many ways when you're being introduced. You said that was a powerful moment. Can you just describe that for our audience?
Yeah, it was one that it just brought chills over your body as he's standing there and he's talking, he's introducing you, and the two things that I remember him talking about is specifically how much he prayed for this decision, a decision that he was not necessarily the center of because he didn't want to be. He let the school go with the process and the interviews and all of that, and he supported them. He prayed and just how joyous he was, even in his last days. In a lot of sense, he felt like his prayers had been answered. And then to hear him introduce me to the guys and talk about, he spoke so highly of me, higher than I would ever speak of myself, in terms of he could be anywhere he wants to be. He could go to the college game. He could do whatever he wants. And the Lord's led him here, and he wants to be here. And like for those guys to hear that, I just don't think there's a better passing of the torch. You have senior leaders who are tremendous basketball players, young men. In my mind, that left no doubt to them. They had no questions. It was from day one an all-in basketball realm, but then also an all-in faith realm of, we then walk through, a week later, one of the toughest weeks of a lot of those young men's lives when Mark lost his battle and the visitation and funeral and being immediately there was a comfort between me and the guys that, you could feel, and having, again, my assistants there who had been with Mark, for familiar faces and just genuine love for these boys. It allowed us to, again, keep the main thing, our faith, and be able to celebrate what Mark did in the lives of these young men. And then we saw it come to fruition on the basketball court, which, if there's one thing outside of the Lord and scripture that Mark loved, he loved to compete. And our boys did that for 30 games, and they did it on the biggest stages, and they always pointed the glory back to the Lord. So there's no doubt Mark's smiling about that every step of the way.
And the legacy that continues will carry on for forever, really, which is really cool. And knowing that he's, we talk about a person when they lose a battle with cancer, but they're gaining like the eternal reward that we all desire and hope for someday. And so I do want to ask you a little bit with the time we have left, your story. Real quick, I mean, you played college basketball at Indiana, and I'm sure there's a lot of lessons that you could share that could take another hour on just playing basketball. You had 6 wins your first year, and your senior year, you're in the Sweet 16. So there's a giant turnaround there and lots of lessons from that. But quickly, if you could, just share your testimony. Like, where did your faith in Christ become real to you? When did you surrender your life to him?
So I grew up not attending church very frequently. A lot of sense, athletic sports were the center of my universe. Had a great high school career, had a high school coach who I'll circle back to as I continue with this, but was, of the Bob Knight school of, tough love and motivation and pushing. And we had a great tenure there, but it turned into an incredible friendship. But even at that, church was not anywhere there. Attended some Young Life stuff with my high school buddies, but nothing other than surface level. It wasn't until my sophomore year at IU, freshman year, 6 wins, you mentioned, from a basketball standpoint, I lost more games that year than I had going back if you combine sixth grade through senior year.
Yeah,
And
that's a lot.
so adversity, identity in basketball was starting to get questioned. Sophomore year turns into an injury plague, loss of a season, didn't play, but maybe two exhibition games early in the year. It was during that time and I'd started dating my girlfriend at the time, wife now, Lindsay. And she had been attending church in Bloomington, same church that the pastor had come in and spoke to our team at one point. And so kind of, through the wanting to spend more time with her, but also being curious, I'm like, hey, could I come to church with you? I don't have a car, like I need a ride, but can I get the church? And started attending church there, between freshman and sophomore year, as injuries take away the identity of I'm a basketball player.
Yeah.
It just started to become more and more clear. And then it was spring of my sophomore year. We're in the middle of church there at Sherwood Oaks in Bloomington, and Pastor Ellsworth's given this incredible story about baptism, being reborn for Christ. And I can remember sitting there and having goosebumps. Like they had the air conditioning on high, and I just was like so overwhelmed, and we left, and I just kept coming back to it and talking about like it's time for me to like commit my life to Christ. It's time for me to declare that He is the center of my world. Part of the beauty of sports and that platform was I was able to take my phone out and text the pastor of a massive church in Bloomington and just say, hey, I'm ready to commit. I want to get baptized. What do I need to do? And his response was, I'm eating lunch. Can you meet me in an hour? And was able to go back and get baptized that day there at Sherwood Oaks, commit my life to him. And I thought one of the really unique things he did was he challenged me then to go for the next month or so and read through the book of Matthew. He's like, you could start anywhere you want, but I want you to start there and read and study and process through. And it became a routine for me. It became something that I craved in terms of being in the Word, studying, and then being in church every Sunday. And it was funny how that grew then as basketball came back junior, senior year. We get guys like Jordan Halls, Derek Elston, eventually Cody Zeller, who come in, who are all strong in their faith. And all of a sudden, you've got like 9 or 10 of us in church every Sunday. And this is back before the world of Zoom calls. Pastor Ellsworth would send us a little video message once Big Ten play started. You played a lot of Sundays, so I can remember sitting in Minnesota or Wisconsin or Ohio State, wherever we were at, and they'd send a clip to the coaches and they'd play it at breakfast for us or after breakfast. We got our little mini sermons from Pastor Ellsworth during that time, and so that really rooted that faith in that. And then, continue on. Then, I'm still probably prideful as an athlete, and you get into coaching, you get up an opportunity to coach with Mark here at Blackhawk as one of my first jobs coaching, and you're learning from him, and you're taking this competitive, highly motivated person, and you're learning that. Your investment in these kids is only important if you're teaching the way that Christ would. And that really changed how I approached the game. And, I'd hardly ever yell at the kids unless the crowd's real loud and I have to yell because that's not who I am. I want to teach them my calming presence. I want to be able to explain and guide. And I think do that in a way that, honors Christ and how he would want to teach. Like I can imagine when he's talking to the thousands, he's probably got this, just deep echoing voice. But then he could also sit and talk with children. And that's one of my favorite parts of my job now is, I love in the Bible where it talks about let the children come to me. I get to work every day of the week with kindergarten and first grade. And they don't care. They would come back from a basketball game and state finals. I can still remember the next day back to school. They couldn't tell you if we won the game or not. They were only excited that they saw me on the big jumbotron and that they saw Kellen Pickett and Gage Sefton on the jumbotron. Like you were at the game, like you saw them in person, but it was only like their sense and their naive sense of this world and what it's all about, just keeps you so humble in your roots and faith. And so, back to just wrap up the testimony and coaching. Like, I had gotten out of it to spend time and invest in my family. My high school coach, Kevin Brown, Hall of Famer in the state of Illinois, got diagnosed with glioblastoma, brain cancer, passed away at the age of 49. And I can remember as he was going through his battle, he would stress to me a need for faith. Like, that's one of the reasons he called on me, was not to talk about anything other than faith and his faith. And he'd grown up in the Catholic Church, was baptized as a child, and just felt an overwhelming presence. And one of the best phone calls that I've ever gotten was from him, and he was going to get baptized in his last days. And he was only going to do it because he was going to get his best friend, who he'd lived with, grown up with since they were, I think, maybe like 5 years old. His best friend was going to come for first time ever, I believe, and get baptized with him. And it was just like so moving that, to see the Holy Spirit working and calling him home, and in a sense of, again, leaving cancer behind. But he was going to make sure that his best friend was going to be saved too, that was here on this earth. And I can remember, as he went through that battle, just how moving it was, but then also starting to feel that calling back to coaching, back to investing in these kids, because he always had so much confidence in me. And then, bump forward a little bit to Mark, who had instilled so much confidence in me to be a coach and somebody who's passionate about working with kids. And then to see him go through a battle and the irony of, they both end up losing their lives at 49, far too young in the sense of this world. But then I look at the landscape of the lives they changed and the reasons why they did it, and I have no doubt it was worth it. And so it just it for somebody personally who's known for several years, my calling, even in sports medicine, was to work with kids who were trying to rehab and get back onto the field or onto the court or whatever it was. Now flip forward to teaching, being in the classroom setting, being in a gym every day with these kids. I think the Lord has called me to work with our youth. It's called me to invest in them, and ultimately share his story, share his word, and help them find their identity in Christ. And there's just so much joy in that for me, to be able to kind of carry that out with my testimony, but then also invest in being able to see each one of these guys that I get the opportunity to coach or teach, develop their testimony and their walk and their story. And ultimately, once they find their voice for it, it's so rewarding to sit back and just listen to them, to sit back and watch them do an interview, or sit back and listen to them lead our chapel service here at the school. It's just an amazing opportunity to see how the Lord has blessed not only myself, but this school and everything that we encompass here and that we're trying to do for the Lord.
That is an awesome story, Matt. I mean, it's beautiful. Thank you for sharing it. It's our testimony, right? The blood of the Lamb and the words of our testimony that'll continue on for as long as we're here to be able to share it and point people to Jesus. So thank you for sharing your story. It's just awesome. As we wind down, I'd love for you to just kind of leave us with some encouragement. Leave us with something maybe it's a verse in the Bible or scripture reference or something that the Lord has been kind of impressing on your heart that maybe you can share with our audience before we say goodbye.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I think an area of the Bible that I love as a competitor, as a young man, is the book of Romans. If you look at Romans 5, verses 1 through 5, to paraphrase a little bit into my own words, because I don't have the Mark Davidson effect of word for word, but it talks about adversity. It talks about, ups and downs. It talks about those type of things develop character in us. And as we develop that character, and we continue to grow, we develop this hope of salvation. We develop this expectation almost of salvation. And then the beauty of all of that, I see that those first five encompass so much of life: highs, lows, adversity, development, and character. That's personal growth. That's sometimes personal setbacks. It could be family setbacks, all of those things. And then you get to Romans 6, there, verse 6 there in Romans 5, and it talks about that basically the Lord shows up and his will be done. And it shows up when we sometimes have no hope, but his timing is perfect.
Yes.
His timing for when he shows up. It might be in a valley. It might be on a mountaintop. Or as my dear friend Mark Davidson would say, the best view is three-fourths of the way up the mountain. That might be where you're at, and the Lord will show up when that time is right. And you have to trust in him. You have to persevere. And I think doing that, again, with that expectation of salvation, that expectation of one day we're going to be called home, and there's going to be so much joy. There'll be sorrow on earth, but there's going to be so much joy when we get there and we hit that loving embrace from the Lord. And I just think about what better way to live our lives than to pursue that expectation of salvation, endure the highs and the lows. And then we have that ultimate trust that our Lord and Savior is going to show up for us when we need him.
Yeah.
And when sometimes we least expect it. That's so beautiful to me, that, you know, it can be when we need it. It could also be when we least expect it. But the beauty of what salvation brings to us is just so remarkable. So I would just encourage everybody. You know, I talk to our guys all the time, the highs, the lows, the 20-point win over a rival, the 10-point loss to somebody who we should have maybe beat. Those things are all irrelevant. It's, you know, you've got to continue to pursue the Lord, trust in him, and know that, you know, whether it's our timing or his, the timing is going to be perfect because he has a plan for us. And that joy of salvation is awaiting us. And we just need to continue to pursue him, whether that's in the word, whether that's praying for each other, or, you know, simply finding a church home to where you can surround yourself with a body of believers.
Yes.
God wants that relationship with every one of us. And I want that for all the kids I get the opportunity to coach, that joy of knowing when salvation comes, you know, they're going to see that same embrace and they're going to see that same joy.
That's good.
And so that's a special thing.
So I'm going to read it only because I have my Bible with me. I'm not memorizing it either, just like, you know,
You're
Matt Davidson used to do, but I'll just read it real quick. Romans 5:3. And not only that, but we also glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance, perseverance, character, and character, hope, like you said. Now, hope does not disappoint because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. For when we were still without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. Yeah. Man, you could just read that scripture every day, and I think that would fill our cups up so well. Thank you for sharing that, Matt. That was... this was awesome, man. Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you for coming on the show. I hope we can talk again. Maybe we'll even meet in person. I mentioned to you that my daughter is at Indiana Wesleyan, and Fort Wayne's just a hop and a skip about, what, 45 minutes north, maybe an hour north of Marion, Indiana. So I'll have to come up and see you guys at some point and say hello in person.
No, absolutely. It'd be a short drive down there, too. I've got a manager who I was fortunate to be with at IU is one of their assistant coaches for men's basketball. And my brother-in-law does a lot of their orthopedic surgery stuff. So.
There you go.
It's a small world, and I would love to connect with you, and even if it's hopping down there. But I appreciate you thinking to have me on. What a wonderful opportunity to talk about the Lord and talk about sports and how he's using those things for the betterment of, you know, future generations.
Jesus and basketball, that's what we're all about. We appreciate you, buddy. Thanks for being on the show.
Absolutely. No, I appreciate it. Look forward to talking soon.
Great stuff there from Matt Roth from Blackhawk Christian High School in Fort Wayne, Indiana, the reigning Indiana Class 2A state champions in 2023. And what a story there, right? Like Matt Davidson, his mentor and one of the legendary coaches of high school basketball at Blackhawk Christian, loses his battle with cancer, lives an amazing life, pouring into young people and, you know, being so bold about his faith. And then Matt Roth comes in behind him, also a man of faith, former Indiana Hoosiers men's basketball player, and helps lead his team to a state championship. What a story. It makes me want to go watch the movie Hoosiers, if I'm being honest, because it's just almost too good to be true. But I love how the Lord is at the center of all of this with Blackhawk Christian, with Matt Roth's journey, with Matt Davidson's legacy. Man, God is so good. And this conversation was awesome. So we appreciate Matt Roth for being our guest today on Sports Spectrum. We thank you as well for tuning in. Again, as always, you can check us out at our website, sportsspectrum.com, for tons of free content. If you want to get our quarterly magazine, you can also do that by going to sportsspectrum.com, click the magazine icon, and you can order our quarterly magazine. And if you're in a school like a Blackhawk Christian, and maybe you have a bunch of young people who, you know, are playing sports and love Jesus, this Sports Spectrum magazine, man, consider ordering it in bulk and getting a copy of it for every athlete, because it really is a great resource with awesome stories, but there's devotionals, and the whole thing is centered around Christ. And it's written in a way that appeals to, I think, young people who love sports. Sports has such an influence on young people. Well, why not work sports and faith together and share the gospel just using the platform of sports? So you can subscribe to our Sports Spectrum magazine, and you can do that again at sportsspectrum.com. We appreciate you guys for tuning in, and we love you. We hope you'll tune in next time for another episode of Sports Spectrum's podcast, and maybe tell someone about Sports Spectrum, and then we'll see you next time for a brand new episode. Have a great rest of your day, and we'll see you soon.